Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Zoila Clark.
I came to this country in 1998. I was 27. I came to do a master's in teaching ESL at Nova Southeastern University in the city of Davie. You know, I came alone, didn't have any friends, any family. I live with a roommate from Pakistan, and she was a married woman. So first thing she said was, no men allowed in this house because neighbors watch and they get ideas. So I said, oh, no problem with me because I am totally alone. I have no friends. I've come to this country to study. And when I was living with her, I loved the gym because in my hometown in Peru, we never had a gym. And this was a community with a pool, so I would go to the gym every day. And I met a very handsome boy. For me, he looked like Tom Cruise. I was so in love. And the thing was that he liked going to the gym, exercise like me. We went dancing. We liked the same hobbies. We played lots of board games. And he asked me to marry him just after 5 months. And I told him, I think that's kind of soon, you know? Like, don't we need to know each other longer? And he said, yeah, but I'm also in need of forming a new family because his aunt had just passed away and she was that person that raised him. He didn't have mother and father. And I was kind of in the same situation, you know? I came to this country, my stepfather didn't like me in his house. My mother didn't care, so I came here to start a new life. So I was very happy, and we got married here. We didn't have anything fancy, but it was just, you know, the love and, you know, this arc of flowers around us and how well we were hanging on together since we met. However, after we married, he started going out more with his male friends. And I felt alone again. And I was like, what is this? I saw that I had found somebody that was proud of me, that was doing things with me, spending his time with me. But no, after we married, he changed. And I didn't even have the keys for the mail because he had to write all the checks and had all this control on me. And I just didn't like that. And I said, you know, what's wrong? Why have you changed? Why aren't we going dancing like before? And he said to me, I have allergies. I was doing it, you know, to please you, to keep you happy, but really I cannot go dancing. I have allergies. I was like, okay, what about playing the board games that we did at home, you know? And he said, I think we have different tastes. And what are you doing this weekend with your friends? And I was like, I don't have any friends. I mean, I want to do things with you. And he said, well, what I can do is I can introduce you to my friends' wives and maybe you figure out something. I was like, okay, but that was not my idea because I wanted to spend time with him, not with these women I didn't even know. So he introduced me to these wives and they all talk about, you know, children stuff. However, I also noticed that they were lonely. One was taking drugs. The other one was having an affair. And I said, you know, this is not right. They are just being put away and, you know, you entertain yourselves with your children and women stuff. And that was not what I wanted. So I told him, you know, this has to change. This cannot go on like this. And he said, well, I spend many times with my friends because we play card games and we invent stories with the cards. It's just male stuff. And I was like, yeah, but what about the women? Maybe we can enter the game too and play these card games. I would like that. I have imagination. But no, it was a male thing. And then one day, he came up with this idea that we should move to a bigger house. And his friend Eddie was going to move in with us. And I was like, no way. I'm not losing my privacy having another man live here. It's like, but Eddie speaks Spanish. He's Cuban. It's like, I don't care whether he's even Peruvian like me, but you know, I cannot have a strange man living here. I said, he's not a stranger, he's a friend. And Eddie started popping up into the house more often. And he was nice. I didn't have a problem with him, but it's just that I didn't like him around so much. And then I started to pay attention to what he talked on the phone. And one day it really broke my heart when I heard him say, you know, over the phone to his friend that he was home getting bored with a wife. And I was like, you know, I was having a happy time because we were home on the weekend. And I said, you know, this is just too much connectedness with that Eddie friend. So I told him directly, you know, what's wrong with Eddie? I don't mind him coming, you know, from time to time, but every day and he's always here. And that's when my husband said to me, well, if you don't want him here, I will go to his house and spend more time with him. And that's what happened. He started, you know, yes, leaving me alone and being with his friend. And he said, it's your fault. My friend is very depressed. He doesn't want to come out of the house. He says, you made him feel bad. And I was like, I think there is something strange here because you get married, you want to be with your wife. You don't want to be with your male friends all the time. So maybe we should get divorced. And he didn't want that. He wanted me to have children. All my friends' wives have children. So you're getting bored because we'll have children. And I was like, no, because I think that is going to be worse. I'm going to become one of those wives that I see. They are unhappy. They are not happy. So I told him, what about taking a time off? And he agreed to this. So when we took the time off, that's when I stayed with my friend and I filed for divorce. And when he received the papers, he was very angry and he said, you are not going to get any money. You are not going to get a car, nothing. So I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, I can start all over from scratch like I did at the beginning some years ago. And then one day he comes to my place with one box saying, I've cleaned up the place and these are some things that I don't need. You know, some dishes with Santa there that I don't like. I was like, okay. I thought he was going to miss me or, you know, things were going to change, but no. So we got divorced. It was sad. I was married for 2 years. But 2 years later, I got a letter of apology from him saying that, you know, he apologized for having me treated badly. And what I think really behind all this was that he was in love with Eddie. I think he wanted to spend more time with him and his friends because he was not heterosexual, but he married because he had to cover it up. He wanted a marriage and me to have children because in that way, you know, in that time, at the late 80s, 90s, it was not like gay people could get married and be proud of it. So he had to kind of hide it with his friends. And little by little, I realized that that's what he needed. You know, it's just that he didn't want to accept it and wanted to cover up. But in time, you know, I remarried. When I look back, we all learn from situations, you know, and I'm glad that, you know, gay people don't go through that anymore, trying to hide, you know, the person they love.
Zoila Clark with a story about a first marriage.
Michael, it's the kind of story that makes you feel, but you don't just feel for the storyteller, you feel for everyone in the story. It's told with such compassion and such sensitivity that even though there's pain in the story, I don't think you can find a bad guy. I think it's just they're caught up in a difficult situation.
It seems like from the beginning, her husband was not that compassionate of a person.
Well, interestingly enough, he was terrific before she married him. And I love that line when she says, okay, she understands he doesn't want to go dancing because maybe he's got allergies. But then she says, how about board games? And he said, I only did that to please you. And I'm thinking, well, if you want to please your girlfriend, why wouldn't you want to please your wife? But of course, I know that's a little cynical. I'm sorry. But, you know, as you're living together longer and longer, you don't go out of your way sometimes, unfortunately, to please the person you love.
Well, her husband was much more interested in getting married after the first 5 months of meeting her. And she was hesitant, and she should have trusted her feelings.
Well, that's a really good point. I think she was hesitant because of the time involved rather than anything that he was doing or any signals that he was giving overtly. I think it just seems kind of quick, although we all know of cases when people get married before 5 months, but a lot of people do wait years. Maybe she was picking up on the signals unconsciously.
I think she was picking up too much on the fact that he looked like Tom Cruise.
And I love the line. That is just so true. That after a while, when she looked at that photograph, she said, "What was I thinking? When I first met my husband, I thought he looked like Jackson Brown. Now he's a good-looking guy. He doesn't look at all like Jackson Brown. But when we meet somebody for the first time, we just kind of associate the person we're meeting with a type, to put them in a kind of a niche. And that was the niche she got in.
I see this relationship as being old-fashioned. She seems like a very smart, very loving person, but the man seemed more of a controlling person.
I think it was a really good thing that they got divorced after 2 years, because whether or not what you say is true, and I'm certainly not disputing it, I think they just were not meant for each other. And I think the primary way that the relationship was old-fashioned, or at least I think the point that she is making, that the storyteller is making, is that in those days, a man had to have, a gay man had to have what they used to call a beard. He had to have a woman near him so that people didn't think that he was gay. And so, thankfully, in many places, times have changed. He can love whom he wants to love, and he can live with whom he wants to live with.
If that's true, if she was his beard, then wasn't a good relationship.
Certainly not. And as sad as the story is, both for Zoila and for her husband, it ended up happy. He ended up with Eddie, and she ended up with a new husband. And I've got to say, Michael, this is one of the most sensitive stories that we've heard, I think. And the fact that Zoila was able very comfortably to dig down deep, to tell a story that was very personal and private and presumably painful, I really appreciate that she was able to share this, because people need to hear these stories. People need to hear how other people live, what other people go through, what time used to be like. And this story didn't happen that long ago. It's not like it happened 100 years ago. It was in the last 20 years. And as I say, times have changed.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners would like to share their South Florida story, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneile@fau.edu.
Our website also has contacts as well as old stories at wlrn.org. Click Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.